Good morning and welcome to the Friday edition of Byers & Company. This hour, Chris Coates stops by from the Herald and Review. We'll also preview next week's show from spring training with the Cardinals. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
By the way, if you've missed any of the show today, podcasts are available, nowdecatur.com, the Nowdecatur app, Nowdecatur social media, the iTunes store, anywhere you want to get podcasts. We had a really remarkable young man by the name of Reed Josephson this morning. He is a senior at Moreau Forsyth in the Section 16 president of the FFA chapter, which encompasses all of the Macon County schools, including District 61 with the new Ag Academy. Great stuff. Randy Keith was also in, candidate for the 101st state rep. Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. All of that available courtesy of Jurger Pediatric Dentistry, where beautiful smiles begin. Chris Coates, the executive editor of the Herald and Review, joins us this morning for a conversation. Well, I'm not even sure exactly what all the conversation will be about, but I had some comments about this MacArthur fight story. You sent me an email, and I said, hey, why don't you come in and talk about it? Let's start with that premise.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. I said, reach out to me when you have questions about our coverage. Yeah.
I'm just going to give you my personal opinion, and then you tell me the thought process behind this.
Sure.
I've spent a lot of time, whether you know this or not, defending you in conversations and meetings. I mean, I like that the paper is a little feisty. There's nothing wrong with that. Boring can be boring. And I'm also a fan of newspapers.
Right.
We are, I guess, at some level competitors in an advertising way, but local media is what makes a town a town. Mm-hmm. I don't trust national media.
Right.
I just feel like there's a narrative. I don't think that they're in touch. So I don't mind a newspaper, a radio station, whatever it might be, being engaged in the community. But as a parent of a District 61 kid and watching the coverage over this MacArthur fight, mm-hmm. and I don't mean to sound like that fight is irrelevant or isn't important to people.
Right.
I just was really confused as why it merited, you know, four news stories and FOIA requests when there was a sex offender story at another school in the county that didn't get that, mm-hmm. where there was, even in the study you cite in the story, a firearm story at a county school that didn't get that, where kids were arrested for terroristic threats and it didn't get that. Mm-hmm. Why four stories?
The terroristic threat was in our coverage area?
Yeah, it was at Sangamon Valley High School. It was in Macon County.
Okay, so I think the issue is
they arrested two students who made, I mean, this was in light of the shootings, obviously, in Florida.
Right.
Two students made a threat. This was, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. And they were arrested by the Macon County Sheriff's mm-hmm. Office for making terroristic threats mm-hmm. towards their school.
Right, okay. So the Decatur School District didn't initially release any information about.
But
I'm happy to respond to anything you got. But I'll respond first, okay? We reported out what the school district said, which is very minimal information initially. We filed a Freedom of Information Act seeking more information because they didn't release the details that we thought they should. And that FOIA request came through on Monday. And we reported that information on Monday.
Okay, I'm just looking at the stories dated February 7th. February 9th, uh-huh. February 24th, February 26th. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just an original story and then a follow-up. There mm-hmm. were four stories.
Right, but every time we got additional information, we reported it.
Okay, but what made you think that there was information that the public needed out of the original report when they said an altercation happened, the students were disciplined?
Let's be clear, okay? The information released did not include the fact that staff members were injured.
And do we know for a fact that staff members were injured?
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, that's what we were seeking, that information. That's why we filed the FOIA.
But something had to, I mean, you didn't just assume staff members were injured. I mean, you were hearing from the same people we hear from, the same people the media outlets hear from.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you were getting people reaching out to you saying there's more to this story.
Yeah. Okay. That's how you do journalism.
Well, okay, but not everybody that reaches out has always got a pure motive or is actually telling you the truth.
But the FOIA showed that those documents were filed.
Oh, they said that they thought somebody was injured.
No, on Sunday we reported that there were two assault forms filed with the school district.
Okay, meaning what?
Did you read the Sunday story?
I did read the Sunday story.
The Sunday story said that two assault forms were filed with the school district by staff members.
Okay.
They said that they were assaulted during those altercations.
I guess what I'm confused about is if the staff jumps in to break up a fight, are they not involved in a physical altercation with a student? I mean, isn't that the very definition of breaking up a fight?
Yes. Yes. So what is the question? The question is we shouldn't report this information?
No. I'm asking why a sex offender in a county school gets a story. I'm asking why a terroristic threat gets a story or no story, and this gets four stories.
Because the information that they released initially was not – we didn't get the information. We went after additional information. The issue in Sangamon Valley, they released information that those kids have not – You want us to go after that story in addition
to
this one?
No, I'm asking why it's deemed – I'm asking the level of importance, a fight at a high school versus a terroristic threat, or even the study that you cite, District 61 not participating in, shows there's only one school that's had a firearm, and that was not reported on. How do you decide the level of importance of what people need to know about our schools? And I can't be the first one that's had this conversation with you about this particular story of MacArthur, am I?
Because no, absolutely not. So we follow up on stories all the time. That's our job. We follow up on these stories and we look for additional information. That FOIA request came through on Monday, and we reported that FOIA request on Monday night. It came in Tuesday's paper. That's how it works.
Okay. So, but how do you decide what to FOIA? I mean, based on tips, based on like somebody calls.
I'm assuming you guys file FOIAs.
Not
all
nearly
time.
As often as you guys do.
How many FOIAs did you file? Let's say 6 months.
I have to ask the news department. I really don't know.
Let's ask them. How many times did the news department file freedom? It's a news department. How many
none
FOIAs?
None that I'm aware of in the last 6 months.
None in the past 6 months.
Maybe one in the past 6 months.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. Do you get the sense that with public, is there any fairness at all for parents or people involved in District 61 that they feel like they get unfair coverage or the coverage is intensified? The case with the sex offender who's showing up at extracurricular activities or sporting events.
Right.
I don't blame the school district for that. I mean, people walk into these gymnasiums all the time. I mean, they don't have somebody at the front, you know, doing background searches on people. I don't believe that's the fault of the school district, which is why I'm not naming names or trying to put any more gasoline on a fire.
Sure.
The school who had the threats seemed to handle everything the way they were supposed to handle. Are you suggesting by FOIAing and that you're not getting information that District 61 didn't handle this the proper way? Because that seems to be the intent of the writing. And by the way, I think Valerie Wells is an excellent reporter, and I've enjoyed reading her stuff over the years. Did she write all of this?
Did Valerie write all that?
Yeah, I know her bylines on it, but did she write? Because it doesn't feel like her writing.
Listen, Valerie is a reporter at our newspaper. We have editors at our newspaper. We write all sorts of things. I mean, that's a hard question to answer.
Why?
Why? What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she either wrote it or she didn't.
She wrote a lot of that coverage, yes, absolutely.
But she didn't write all of it.
Okay. We go through an editing process where things get moved around all the time.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
This study that you report, it felt like it was saying District 61 didn't participate in this. And I know you said many people didn't, but there's not anybody in the county that participates in this. A single school district.
You're talking about to the State Board of Education?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear that it's very limited information submitted to the state.
Right, but there's not a single school district here that does. But it seemed to make it sound like District 61 was negligent and not doing that. And if they are negligent, isn't every other school district in your reader area and our listener area, because none of them do.
I think that was clear in that story that it's pretty common that this is an issue across the system.
Okay, and so do you suggest, you think that they should? I mean,
I'm not
well, no, but
I'm an editor.
But you are editorial. I mean, that goes beyond just simple report the facts. I mean, you're in charge of the editorial page. You're the editor of the paper. It's okay to have an opinion. I'm not asking you as a journalist. I guess I'm asking what the point of the four pieces were, because I'm still – yes, a fight happened. We all know a fight happened. Yes, there were teachers involved in the altercation. They should suspend those students, take whatever disciplinary punishment they should take. The four stories, I guess I'm still trying to figure out what you're still trying to figure out. Have you got all your FOIA requests back, or are you still waiting on some?
We're still waiting on some.
Okay, and what else are you wanting to find out about this?
I want to get the best picture of what happened on that day. I want to get the best picture. And we were not told early on that teachers were, or not even teachers, staff members were.
Okay, but is that their job to report to you? Is that the job of the school district to report to the newspaper that staff was injured?
When we ask about the severity.
No, I mean originally when they put the release out about here's what happened. Is that their job to report to you? I mean, if you have somebody that falls down on the job or gets hurt with the printing press, is it your job to tell us somebody was injured on the job?
My printing press is not taxpayer supported, even though I wish it was. So I think there's a responsibility.
So you agree with the can? Oh, that's an interesting question. We'll get back to that. Put a notch by that one.
I think it's a responsibility as a taxpayer, as an entity using taxpayer cash, to respond to questions. Yes.
Absolutely. Oh no, I'm talking about before there were questions. The original response, which you printed in the story, you said there wasn't enough information in here. I'm asking you, when I send out the original press release, if I'm District 61, is my obligation, taxpayer dollars or not, to report to the media about whether or not staff was injured or not injured?
First of all, the press release is, we ask questions in addition to that press release.
No, I'm talking about when they self-report, if you will, when they send out, hey, an altercation happened and this is what, I mean, I feel like, first of all, they ought to let parents know, more so
Absolutely.
Than the media. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a parent of a District 61 kid, I feel like they do a pretty good job of communicating with us about what's happening in our schools with our kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's their first obligation.
Right.
Their second obligation, I guess, is to let the media know. But where do you draw the line? I mean, what do they offer up without FOIAs, without whatever? What is their obligation to the public through the media or elsewhere about a fight that happened? I mean, I don't know where you went to high school. I'm sure you saw fights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've happened since the beginning of time in high schools, and they will 20 years from now, 30 years from now. What is the standard?
Okay, what's the question? What's the standard for
what? What is the obligation for District 61 or any other district self-report to the media all of the details of what happens with any altercation?
Hey, there's a fight. Was anyone hurt? We can't talk about that. Then the next question is, okay, fine, we're gonna ask more questions to try to ascertain what happened. It's just basic journalism.
Okay, but yet you didn't feel the need to do that on the sex offender story or the mm-hmm. terroristic threat story. Or the firearm story mm-hmm. in another school district. Why?
Because we have very limited resources and we need to cover Decatur first. And you want me to, you're telling me you want more aggressive coverage
No, I'm asking, I think it's inconsistent, mm-hmm. is what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair question. Mm-hmm. If you're truly about seeking the truth, and I have no reason to doubt you, I, like I said, bringing you in here, I'm not anti you, I'm not anti the paper.
Ask to come in here, first of all.
Well, first of all, that's how it works. You can come in anytime you want. Okay. You sent an email, I responded to your email immediately mm-hmm. and offered you a chance to come in and talk about it. Are mm-hmm. you saying that it was like some reluctant decision?
The question is, how do we report on certain school districts?
Yeah.
The answer is that we start with Decatur and put more energy into our core market, just like you put more energy into your core market. And then when there are other issues outside
but Chris, this is a conversation. You've got all the time in the world to say whatever you want. Our core market is Mount Zion, is Decatur, is Moroa Forsyth, those are our core markets. And I understand if you tell me that it's Effingham, but Mount Zion's not, 30 miles down the road.
Okay, so you're saying we should ramp up coverage on those issues.
I'm asking why you haven't and why you chose to do this. I think that's maybe I'm not doing a good job of asking this question. It seems very simple to me. In as far as seriousness, if you're a parent, you are a parent, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have kids in school here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If would you be more or less interested in a firearm story, a terroristic threat, a sex predator, or a fight?
I have no idea what happened in that fight. Situation.
Okay.
We're just pursuing those questions. I think the school district in the other cases, I think they released that information. I don't know what those follow-ups would be. Those follow-ups would be, we would go.
Do we know what the terroristic threats were? I mean, that's a pretty broad. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty broad mm-hmm. description. I don't know what that means mm-hmm. in today's day and age.
Sure, and that case has not been adjudicated at all. So, I mean, we can seek out that information. Those are juveniles in those cases. I don't think there's any allegation.
Well,
that
in any case in a school district, you're going to have juveniles. That's
right.
But the student age.
The school district in that case in Sangamon Valley, I don't think there's anything going on with the school district not releasing the information.
Oh, I don't know. That day it was very tough to get any information mm-hmm. out of them. I mean, we got the information out of the Macon County Sheriff's Office before we got information out of the school district.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a reluctance, and I don't know if it's just concern over panicking parents or whatever. And if that's the argument being made about the Kyle building or District 61, that can be a fair argument. I'm not suggesting that there's not room to improve as far as communication goes.
Yeah.
It just seems to me, after reading it, and by the way, we're not in here having this conversation every other day. You have a job to do. I'm not telling you how to do your job. Mm-hmm. It just seems from a parent perspective of District 61, it was treated differently than other incidents that could have been just as important.
I have not heard that criticism yet, but I respect what you're saying.
Okay. So explain. I was explaining this yesterday. The FOIA process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bureaucrats and governments see it as a gigantic pain because it takes people's time and they will tell you it's... But I also understand it's a very important part of what we do in life, and it has to be there. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm not criticizing you for FOIAing information. I mean, that's how... We had a school board prior to this school board that would have hid everything they could possibly hide and did so for a number of years. So it's an important process. I was just kind of wondering from a personal point of view how it is you guys decide what you're going to pursue, just from an editorial conversation. You know, I mean, how does a story grab enough interest in the newsroom where you say, okay, this is something we have to get answers on, so we're going to go through this FOIA process?
There's no science to it. I would say when people... I don't know. How do we decide what the FOIA? When people generally, I don't know how to answer that. When you find out that there's information, maybe through a source that you're seeking, there's blanket FOIAs. In this case, we didn't get the answers we wanted, so we issued a blanket FOIA for all correspondents.
For all correspondents.
For all electronic correspondents.
Do you take into consideration what that means as far as time and personnel? I mean, because these are taxpayers. I mean, we are paying these people to go do a job, correct? I mean, does that ever come into a consideration?
The state legislature passed the FOIA law with the intent to keep an open and transparent form of government. I understand that takes time, but that's what the state legislature decided.
Okay. A quick question, just to go back a little bit, because I got a text from a District 61 person who said that at the bottom of the report that you guys reported, it said no injured party and no time lost. Was that reported?
No injured party, no time lost. What does that mean?
At the bottom of these forms that were filled out that you just talked about a few minutes ago that you got.
Well, that's great. They should tell us that. That would be fantastic.
Well, it says right at the bottom of the form that you got.
The assault forms?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, then they should answer those questions. Here's the thing.
Okay, be honest. Tell me. I mean, if this is a communication problem with District 61, that as a parent, that's important to know, because I'm coming at this not defending the Kyle building or the school board. I'm talking about just sort of like the image that District 61 gets as a kind of a violent place where people don't want to go, and it seems like there's all these sort of altercations or some dangerous place. That's not my day-to-day experience with District 61 mm-hmm. as a parent. Mm-hmm. So if there's a communication problem, make that argument.
Well, I think there's an issue with them not responding to our questions. Absolutely. If you look, did you read those 60 pages of correspondence?
I have all of it right here in front of me.
So there was a bunch of conversations with other media outlets seeking information as well. And those emails were not returned, or there was some confusion apparently within that conversation. We report what we get, and we ask questions. If we don't get a response, we're going to find – it's just basic journalism. We're going to go after that question again in a new way. And if those forms have something that we're not seeing, and when we reported that story last Sunday, we said, hey, walk us through what's going on here. Nothing.
Okay.
And for this Sunday, we reached out to the school district and said, you can have as much space as you want on our opinion page. You can do anything you want.
Okay.
And the response was no.
Okay. So that's not a good relationship to have, clearly, for the community, for you guys, for the school district,
right,
for anything. How does that improve?
I mean, I think reaching out to them and saying, here's some space and you can have your side of the story, that's a start.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to keep reporting out the story.
So there's more to this story in your mind still.
I have no idea.
But there's got to be some curiosity, because you said we've only got limited resources and we start here and move out. But to keep spending the resources on this, what is it that you think is out there?
I have no idea. I've done I've done a few of these stories before.
Chris, I'm not questioning your ability, your skill, your intelligence. I'm not questioning any of that. I'm just asking why there isn't the same intellectual curiosity around these other stories.
Because we are pursuing all sorts of stories every single day.
Of course you are.
And sometimes some stories come together before other stories.
So you
sometimes
are working on the other those other things that I talked about.
I just told you that. I don't see what are you suggesting there's something else to follow in those stories? That those cases have not been adjudicated yet.
Well, what's been adjudicated in this case?
Because the because the FOIAs indicate that some staff members were hurt.
But if they sent you forms that said there was no injury and no time lost, isn't that the end of that story?
And then we're back to the other question, which is the school district just should clarify that for us when we ask those questions. That's great. We'll follow up with that today.
Okay. Once again, I'm not telling you how to do your job. I'm not at all.
Right.
I'm just saying there's a disconnect for me here that I can't make the connection of why this is important, mm-hmm. and we don't have intellectual curiosity about terroristic threats that shut down a school and kids get arrested.
You said that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent, that would be much more concerning that kids were making a threat to come up and shoot up the school or whatever it might mm-hmm. be, because we don't know what those threats were. Mm-hmm. We know it was enough for them to arrest them on felony charges, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Or I would want to know if my kid's playing in a volleyball tournament and there's a sexual predator there, mm-hmm. or if there's a firearm incident. Mm-hmm. Those all seem equally important to me as a fight.
Right. Okay. Well, you made a good case. Is your newsroom chasing those stories?
We have reported every one of those stories. You know what we did? We did one story on all of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying your four stories are wrong. I'm trying to figure out how that importance level is attached to four stories versus one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not getting the information you need from District 61, and they need to do a better job of informing you, then that's something I want to know too. I'm not coming at this from taking their side or taking your side. I'm saying as a parent, I feel like, and not just this incident, but in television, that District 61 is portrayed in a way that I don't recognize being in these schools an awful lot as a parent and then somebody who's working on this Ag Academy and right. these other things. I feel like there is, I don't even know what word to use because I don't think it's an intentional bias, but I think that there is a way that is reinforced that somehow District 61 is something that it's not.
I think we do a pretty fantastic job covering all sorts of really great things in the school district. We commit to a Sunday page about education. Valerie does a column.
I think Valerie does.
Single day.
By the way, I asked the question earlier. This doesn't feel like Valerie's style of reporting.
It's not an either or situation. I think the best news organizations I've worked for are critical and report on things fairly, even if they're not pretty. In this case, is not as far as we can tell. Some stuff happened, and we asked some questions, and we didn't get the answers. Maybe in the way that we thought we would in other school districts, and so we FOIA'd it.
Okay.
We had to FOIA it. I don't want to FOIA things if we don't have to. It's a resource issue. This was not an investigation. I've done investigations that have taken months and have been really, really hard. This was one FOIA, and we reported on that one FOIA coming back in the case of the Monday thing. In the Sunday thing, that was another FOIA that we put out about the assault form.
So it wasn't just one FOIA.
No, we put out we FOIA'd the video of what happened. They denied that.
Well, did they deny that with reason?
They say it's student records.
Okay.
That makes sense. I understand that. Because we could identify the kids. I get that.
Did the television station not run a video, or was that somebody else's social media video?
That social media video.
I didn't
video,
see their report.
We didn't run that because we couldn't verify that was of that incident.
Okay.
So we're not going to run with a video of a blurry video. They did that, and I understand that. That's the thing. In this media market, there's all sorts. We can have as many players in this as possible. I think you guys do a great job. I think A&D does a great job. We do a good job, too. I think we're all trying to do different pieces of the pie. And my job is to seek information using every tool I got.
All right, hold that thought. We got to take a break for the news. We'll come back. This is an actual satellite break. I don't have a choice in this. I'm not interrupting you. We'll take a break for the news. Back with more. Chris Coates, the executive editor of the Herald and Review, in the studios. We got a lot to talk about. Stay tuned. News is coming your way next.
8:29. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY newsroom. Training is going to be available for those who want to educate themselves on issues surrounding domestic violence. Dove Incorporated offering the training beginning in April and running through May. Monday through Thursday afternoons from 1 until 5. It's a 40-hour training course approved by the Illinois Coalition Against Domestic Violence. The training will be facilitated by two Illinois-certified domestic violence professionals, one of whom is also an Illinois-certified partner abuse intervention professional. If you're interested in making a difference in the lives of victims and kids served by Dove's domestic violence program, you're encouraged to participate in the training. Cost of the course is $150, but there are some scholarships available. You need to register and get a hold of Barb Blakey at 428-6616. You must start the registration process with a phone interview. That needs to happen by noon Monday, April 23rd. Again, call Barb Blakey at Dove at 428-6616 for more information. More news on the way after Fox at 8:30.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump's been tweeting about his plan for a tax on steel and aluminum from other countries, saying in this case, trade wars are good and easy to win.
China saying the U.S. should show restraint in using trade protection tools. A robust response also from Canada, the biggest supplier of steel and aluminum to the U.S., that government saying it would take responsive measures to defend its workers.
Fox's Simon Owen in London, the plans for a 25% tariff on imported steel, 10% for aluminum. The president heads to North Carolina today for the Reverend Billy Graham's funeral at his library.
About 2,300 invited guests are expected on this very cool and slightly windy day in Charlotte. President Trump and Vice President Pence will be here, but they will not speak. Afterwards, it will be a quiet burial with just family here on the library grounds.
Fox's Grinnell Scott in Charlotte. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WSOY News time is 8:31. A new monument near Chicago's Soldier Field will celebrate the Special Olympics at the site where its first event was held 50 years ago. Officials from the Special Olympics and the Chicago Park District will join other dignitaries at a groundbreaking today for the 30-foot monument known as the Eternal Flame of Hope. The Special Olympics are the largest sports organization in the world for people with intellectual disabilities. The first event was held in Chicago in 1968. Today, 5 million athletes in 172 countries participate. Among those attending Friday's event are Illinois Supreme Court Justice Ann Burke, who, as a Park District employee, helped start the Special Olympics. Athletes who participated in the first games will also attend. Chicago will host athletes this summer for a 50th anniversary celebration. In sports, in the Big Ten tournament, Penn State made a late rush to hold off Northwestern 65-57 in the second round. Meanwhile, it was a go-ahead three-pointer done by Duncan Robinson that helped the 15th-ranked Michigan Wolverines survive foul trouble and poor shooting to beat Iowa 77-71. And Rutgers upset Indiana 76-69 to advance to the quarterfinals of the tournament, the Scarlet Knights' most notable accomplishment in four seasons since joining the conference. Mornings comes your way at 9 o'clock. Breaking news when it happens. I'm Jeff Daly in the WSOY Newsroom for Neuhoff Media, media made locally.
We had put off replacing all of our old kitchen appliances for a long time, but we couldn't wait any longer. So we started looking around. Internet, big box stores, you know the drill. One place we went was Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. They showed us this fantastic stainless refrigerator, range, and microwave with all the features at $2,000 savings. Well, we had to check this deal out at the other stores, but we found out they didn't even carry them. So we went back to Dick Van Dyke, and they threw in a free matching dishwasher. They also gave us a free 10-year protection plan on all four appliances and free financing. Wow!
I'm Dennis Regan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Decatur during the month of March. Save $2,000, and in addition, get a free matching dishwasher and our exclusive free 10-year protection plan. Wow!
We stand behind what we sell. We offer so much more. Dick Van Dyke.
Hey, if you are in the market to make the most money for your home, Sean Hannity here with some important advice. Now, look, I'm an active investor. I have bought and sold a lot of properties in hot, cold, moderate markets. And one of the lessons I have learned is this. Hire the agent that knows how to create the most demand for your home. Now, if I needed to create demand in this market, no question, there's only one real estate agent I trust if I needed to sell my home. I'm talking about Glenda Williamson. She services Decatur and the surrounding area and attracts hundreds of buyers every week and sells a home on average every 34 hours. Now, because of that, she can guarantee to sell your home at an agreed price and deadline, or guess what? She'll buy it. Our national marketing plan got my attention, and you know what? She'll get your home the attention it needs to sell for the most money guaranteed. Now, if I lived in Decatur or surrounding areas and needed to sell my home, well, I would call Glenda Williamson. So call Glenda, 217-875-8081. That's 217-875-8081. 875-8081 or online at GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GlendaWillSellYourHome.com. Go there and you can start packing.
Here is Lindsay Romano with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Sunshine today and highs near 50 degrees. Then for tonight, clear skies, lows around 30. For your Saturday, sunshine once again, highs near 50, and Sunday, sunny highs near 53. It is currently 33 degrees in downtown Decatur.
You're listening to Buyers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We'll be right back with Chris Coates from the Herald Review. Right now it's time to head to Benjamin F. Edwards and Jamie Bruner, who is standing by. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Brian. A broad sell-off took place to start March, and the Dow closed down 420 points on Thursday to 24,608. Investors were unnerved after President Trump announced he will institute tariffs next week on steel and aluminum imports, possibly stoking a trade war and resulting in higher prices at a time when the Federal Reserve is attempting to control inflation. There was hope incoming Fed Chair Jeremy Powell would soothe angst created on Tuesday when he told the House that the Fed may need to be more aggressive with interest rate hikes. European markets were lower today, with the London FTSE down 1.04% and the DAX in Frankfurt off 2.21%. The Nikkei in Tokyo was down 2.5%. The 10-year U.S. Treasury note was down 2/32, yielding 2.814%. Gold futures were up $17.20 at $1,322.80. Crude oil futures were down 41 cents at $60.59 a barrel. The Dow is starting this last day of the week at 24,359, a negative 253 points. ADM at 41.32, Ameren 54.46, Caterpillar 147.89, Norfolk Southern 137.35, PPG 110.42, Tate and Lyle 30.79, and Mueller Water 10.75. And I'll close today with a quote from Bob Goff's book, Love Does. I used to be afraid of failing at something that really mattered to me, but now I'm more afraid of succeeding at things that don't matter. This is Jamie Bruner with Benjamin F. Edwards & Company, member FINRA and SIPC.
Thank you, Jamie, as always. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you first thing tomorrow morning. Joining us in studios is Chris Coates, the executive editor of the Herald and Review. You mentioned something earlier, which it hit me because I just read your piece on the Democratic candidates for the 13th Congressional District that were all in town last night. And one of them suggested that the public own the media. I don't know if you saw any part of that story.
Yeah. Well,
that's not a good idea, is it?
Well, I don't know.
You said something about taxpayers subsidized printing.
No, it's bad. It's bad. I think that there are a lot of business models out there. And, you know, you look at NPR and PBS and government heavily subsidized corporation for public broadcast. I mean, I don't know.
That annoys me.
It does?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have to come out and compete.
Right.
You know, we don't get subsidized.
Sure.
And I think sometimes subsidized makes you lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sell newspapers. You have to sell digital. You have to sell social media.
Right.
You know, your app, whatever.
Yeah.
The same way we have to.
Right.
Radio's been a little different over the years, I think, and we've had an easier time at adapting on some things because we've always offered our product for free from the very beginning.
Right.
You know, we didn't have subscriptions or you didn't have to pay cable, you know. And so
I
realize everybody's got to figure out where they're going to go. I'm not sure subsidizing more media is a good idea.
Well, I understand. I think there's a lot of business models, and I don't know. I think there's more media is better. More competition is better for us. I think it makes us do our job better.
All right. How do you feel about, and since we're here just talking about philosophy today, and I do thank you for coming in, and you're welcome anytime, you know, standing invitation to come in anytime you disagree or agree or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys decide what you're going to allow on social media? I know there's a pressure for numbers and metrics and data, and you know, there's this clickbait sort of mentality in the world today. You know, we find that a lot of, there's one thing being an open democracy, and then there's still slander and libel, and people just think they can just do anything on social media.
Well, and you're talking about
comments. You put up a story.
Yeah.
What do you allow? Do you allow everything?
Well, on our stories, the comment numbers have really dropped off. That used to be a lot of the action was, and it caused a tremendous amount of headaches and other markets I've worked in.
Yeah, you got to monitor.
The
suck time on people is impossible to explain to the normal person.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have standards as publishers and broadcasters that, you know, our consumers don't fully understand. You can't just say anything on there. It opens us up to liability.
But there are some media outlets, Chris, that just let anything go.
Right. That's right. I think on social, so strictly our Facebook site, we are more liberal, you know, with comments and things. We let things go that maybe we wouldn't have so much on our site back in, you know, 5 years ago.
All right, so when did that happen, like, in the business? Like, I mean, it used to be you couldn't print a letter to the editor unless you verified it was a real human being, yet Facebook's like the Wild West.
Right. I think that when it went from our website, which we controlled or owned or whatever, to this third-party Facebook vendor, whatever, I think those it became unshackled more. And I think we're more likely to let things go that we probably would have been hard on before.
And why? I mean, I'm not badgering. I'm curious as to why what the platform would make a difference. I mean, you're still putting out the same product.
Yeah, I think that Facebook has a certain level of discourse that maybe it didn't exist on our website. In other words, people can go back and forth and you can look at their face and you can see their profile. I think once in a while I'll take something off that's libelous or super mean or crazy racist.
Well, there's a lot of that stuff out there. Yeah.
I try to, plus, by the way, you can't monitor everything. We get hundreds and hundreds of comments. And so sometimes people will flag things and we'll go through and review.
But. Okay. I mean, for instance, just pertaining to the MacArthur story, yeah. I saw something on your Facebook page where a person was proclaiming to know all about the inside inner workings of District 61 and they live in London.
That's fair.
No, I mean, it's a crazy world out there. And I feel like sometimes, too, we're letting the couple hundred crazies drive the debate, you know, because a lot of people who have opinions or are smart people aren't going to get in the middle of all that mud and fight. You know, do you worry about that?
Sure.
Like the crazies drowning out the majority of people?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we were to go at that story the day it happened with the amount of input we got from people calling and Facebook comments, it would have been a radically different story. We held back a lot. We didn't put the video up because we couldn't independently verify it. The school district didn't verify it. So, you know, we were cautious on that for that very reason. We don't have all of the information.
No, there was a year or so ago, there was a big thing on Facebook that a kid had a gun in one of the gymnasiums. It turned out to be a picture from like North Carolina or something. And I mean, there's too much of that.
Right. And I think, by the way, we did mention that video in the story and we said we couldn't independently verify it.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think you got to be careful with social. And we still, by the way, can't verify that video. We don't know when that was taken, or it looks like the gym, but we can't verify when it happened.
How do you decide what consumers want?
Oh boy. I think we have a...
I mean, is it all data driven?
No, I think that it's very complex. What builds a good morning show? I mean, you rely on a combination of your instincts, you rely on your ratings, you rely on your interaction with people. I think it's all of those things with news organizations.
Yeah, but I was thinking maybe more like corporate lines of, you know, your ownership versus, you know, because there are different philosophies in the media. I mean, it's not all the same. You know, do they give you a free hand? Does it get dictated down? I mean, in the newspaper industry right now, you know, particularly in your company, how's that conversation going?
I talk to them on bigger issues and things, but in terms of day-to-day and what
you get local control over what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. And what's the future of newspapers?
I think I don't call them newspapers anymore. I try to avoid that word. We put out a newspaper every day. I think we do a pretty good job day-to-day. I think we're a news organization building apps and building our social structure and doing a really great job. I'm thrilled at the amount of digital attention we're getting. I think we'll be around. We'll be a newspaper every single day in 20 years or when my kids are graduating from college. I don't know. I hope so, because it's fun and I love it every day about putting that thing out and hearing the press run. But that segment of our future is not clear right now.
No one's is. It changes so fast.
Yeah.
People freak out when you tell them the iPhone's 10 years old. I mean, we've come a long way in the past 10 years. I mean, more so than the previous 100.
The beauty of it for me is that we can do all sorts of things that maybe we're not encouraged before with design. We can be creative in new ways. We can try anything because, we're kind of building it as we go now. It's not set in stone like it was maybe 30 years ago.
All right. So to wrap up the original story that you came in to talk about, you've offered the Sunday editorial page space to District 61.
That's right.
And you've not heard anything.
They declined us last night,
Okay. That's a mistake on their part. I mean, it truly is. I'm not here today having this conversation with you as carrying water for District 61. I'm a parent of a District 61 kid. We're proud of that. I put a lot of time and effort outside of my job description and duties, raising money and trying to make, because I truly believe that how District 61 goes is how this community goes. It's the largest school district we have. It's the focus, and I'm not taking away anything. We've got great school districts across the county, but it has to do well and succeed, and there's a lot of upside and a lot of positives that are going on. Maybe we're thin-skinned, and I'll be free to admit that, But I just feel like constantly what I get inundated with is a district that I don't recognize as what I see day to day.
I think the district's hands are tied in a lot of ways, how they're going to handle the student disciplinary action, how they're handling these assault forms, how they're handling all sorts of policy things. I get it. They're between a rock and a hard place. I would absolutely love to have that context and analysis and detail in our reporting. And they're the only ones who can deliver that message to us about how their hands are tied in the situation. I suspect that's the case because I see that in other places in Illinois when school districts have to handle these kinds of things. I would love for them to talk to us at length about those issues.
All right. Are you overall optimistic about the direction that District 61 is heading?
I'm a reporter. I report the facts.
You're an editor. You're not. Come on.
Optimistic about the future of everything? Yes. I think everything ultimately is moving in the right direction. Yes.
All right. Chris, we appreciate you coming in today. Thanks for being here. Chris Coates, executive editor of the Herald and Review. We'll take a quick break. Back with more after this.